It's actually wonderful that when I've been introduced, that I've been introduced as being from Southeast Queensland. A lot of churches, when they introduce me, they say I'm from the Gold Coast, which is true, but we have a couple of churches that aren't on the Gold Coast, and so they do get a little bit funny if we say that we're from Kings on the Gold Coast, because, you know, they feel like they get missing out a bit. And especially one of my campuses, it's in a suburb, it's in a part of Brisbane called Logan. I don't know if you've heard of Logan. And so very different from the Gold Coast. You know, a little bit more working class, that sort of thing. We've got one church down near Burleigh Beach, and we've got one church in Logan. And so the clientele is very different, especially when it comes to their filters and the way they talk to you and that sort of thing. When you talk to people from Burleigh, they're a little bit kinder. Just a little bit more, you know, they're more willing, a bit more discretion with their words. Logan people tend to say whatever pops into their head. And the first thing, and sometimes, you know, you need a bit of a thick skin ministering there. I remember last year I went and preached at the afternoon service at Logan, all prayed up, ready to go. And last year, I'm very simple when it comes to what I wear. I basically buy something at the start of the year, just wear it all year. And so I just wear the same clothes, you know, for a weekend and that sort of thing. And so I, last year was the whole black outfit. It was all black, you know, so black shirt, black pants, white shoes, you know, it was kind of like the middle-aged Pentecostal pastor outfit. That's what I was wearing all of last year. And so I remember I turned up to Logan. I went to Logan and one of our lovely, dear beloved Logan members met me at the door. And she said to me, she said, Pastor Ben, why do you always wear black? And I said, because it's slimming. And she said, well, it's not working. And so anyway, it's so good to be here. Praise God. But I'm looking forward to sharing with you tonight. And I'm sharing a message that is very, very, on a topic that's very, very dear to my heart. And but it's not necessarily something I actually share at churches, you know. And Pastor Sean and Linda heard me actually preach this at our church one time and thought it would be good for me to share with you. And so I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And it says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for your word today. I just ask and pray that you will come upon every single person in this place in Pentecostal power. I thank you and praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The church that we're a part of and the movement that we're a part of is called a Pentecostal movement. And so the body of Christ is very broad and it's very wide. And there's a lot of theological topics that we agree on and that sort of thing. But there are some slight differences amongst the body of Christ. As Pentecostals, basically one of the things we differ with other parts of the body of Christ is our theology around a thing called the baptism of the Spirit. And so we believe as Pentecostals that we can encounter God's presence now. We believe in his power. We believe that his power is relevant today. But we also believe that he comes upon us and that he comes upon us in power. So that does make us a little bit different from other parts of the body of Christ. Now, the awesome thing is that we're not some weird, small little group on the side. Pentecostal churches are the fastest part, growing part of the body of Christ throughout the world. And so being a Pentecostal does not mean that you're part of some kind of small sideline group. You're very much part of the mainstream. And that wasn't so 100 years ago. 100 years ago, we were a small group, smaller group, but because of our belief in the power of God, our belief in Pentecostal power and his anointing, that we've actually become part of the fastest part, growing part of the body of Christ across the planet. And where we derive the phrase Pentecostalism is actually found here in Acts chapter 2. It's about this experience that the early church had on the day of Pentecost. And so that's why we're called Pentecostals, because what happened there is something that we believe still happens today. And the area that we, as I said, the area where we are slightly different in our theology to other parts of the body of Christ is in the area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so here we believe that what happened in Acts chapter 2 back then can actually happen now and is still happening now right across the globe. And so I want to talk to you, it's a little bit of a kind of a teaching message, I guess, but I want to talk to you today about four facets of the baptism of the Spirit, four distinctives. Because there's a thing called Pentecostal distinctives, and that's what we're saying here. This is our Pentecostal distinctive. This is what we believe about this issue. But we also believe it's the fuel that keeps our lives continually moving forward. And so I want to talk to you from this passage of Scripture about four facets of the baptism of the Spirit. The first facet of the baptism of the Spirit is subsequence. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who is the they it's talking about? Well, it's actually talking about people who were already believers. There was 120 there in the upper room, and these were people that were already Christians. And so we believe that the baptism of the Spirit is an experience subsequent to conversion. What that means is this, that you become a Christian and you get saved and you're going to heaven, but there's another experience that's available for every single one of us. And that's the baptism of the Spirit. And so that's why we believe it's an experience subsequent to conversion. Now, this is not the only time in the book of Acts where this actually happens. It also happens in Acts chapter 19, when the Apostle Paul went to the city of Ephesus. He goes there and he's speaking to some local believers. And he says to them in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So watch this. They were already Christians and already believers, and they're already going to heaven. But the Apostle Paul wanted to know, have you received the Holy Spirit? So he's saying there's another experience that you can have. And then later on after this, he says to them, what were you baptized into? And they said, into John's baptism. So what does that mean? Well, John's baptism is actually talking about water baptism. So watch this. You can be saved. You can be water baptized and go into heaven. But God still has another experience for us. And that other experience is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The second facet of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is difference. It says in verses 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So watch this. They had an experience with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit came upon them. However, if you were in the service this morning, you would know that I said that the Holy Spirit does two things. He comes upon us in power, but he also breathes in us new life. So not only does he empower us, but he actually also regenerates us. Regeneration is when we're born again. When his Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us, and he breathes in us new life, that's called regeneration. That's one thing that the Holy Spirit does, but he actually does another thing as well, and that's empowerment. He actually comes upon us. You know, in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus, after he had died and had risen again, and he was around for 40 days, but before he ascended unto heaven, it says in John 20, 22, that he grabbed his disciples, and it says he breathed on them, and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now this happens before this Acts 2 experience. But then later on, at the end of Luke, in the start of Acts, he tells them, he's about to go, and he says, but you have to wait until you've been endued with power from on high. So watch this. He's already said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he says to them, wait. Now I would have thought, if there's a group of people that was ready to take the world, it would have been those disciples. They had walked and talked with Jesus for 3 years. They had actually performed miracles. They had also received the Holy Spirit as a regenerative work, born again. But Jesus said, there's still one more thing that you need. They had to wait until they were endued with power from on high. And that's what happens here in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, this is the moment that Jesus told them that they had to wait for. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit. Not only has the Holy Spirit been breathed within them, but the Holy Spirit has to also come upon them. It's a different working of the Holy Spirit. The third thing, the third facet of the baptism of the Spirit is prevalence. Prevalence. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled. Notice this, it doesn't say, well, some were filled, but some weren't because it wasn't God's will. It doesn't say that. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So the third thing about the baptism of the Spirit is that it's the experience is available to every single believer. Now, I have met people that have been prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they haven't got it the first time. But that does not mean that it's not God's will that they get it. Sometimes we frame our theology around our experience. But I have seen, I can honestly say, that every person that I know that has eagerly desired the baptism of the Holy Spirit has eventually got it. I remember one time I was at a camp. It was a camp for young youth leaders. And at the end of the camp, the preacher was praying for some young people. And he's praying for people who want to receive the baptism of the Spirit. And so one of the guys there was one of my youth leaders, a guy named Billy. And so Billy was desperate to receive the baptism of the Spirit. And so he came forward to get prayed for, and they prayed for him, and he went down under the power of God, and he's yelling out, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. He gets up, nothing happens. I remember thinking to myself, oh, well, maybe he's one of those people that, you know, he's not supposed to get it. We drove home from the camp, and that night we had youth. And so I dropped him at his place and I said, I'll see you at youth tonight, Billy. He said, oh, no worries, Pastor Ben. He was a little bit disappointed. Later that night, when youth started, he ran in. He said, Pastor Ben, guess what? I said, what? He goes, I got it. I said, you got what? He says, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, where? He goes, in the shower. And his brother walks in later. He goes, yeah, he did. I heard him. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen. I remember another time that I was when I was living in Sydney and we're part of this little youth group and we had a guest speaker come and he wanted to pray for any young person that wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, in our little youth group, there was only one person who hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, a girl by the name of Julie. So everyone turned around and looked at Julie. And so Julie came forward and the guest speaker was praying for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember at the time I was leading worship, so I was on stage, I was looking, and then all the rest of the youth group got around her, put their hands on her head. I could hardly see her head. Like they were completely covered, and they're praying for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They lift their hands off her and she's still looking at everyone like this. I remember thinking to myself, well, maybe she's one of those people. Maybe it's not supposed to happen. So later that night, she was a little bit discouraged and so she decided that she was going to play on the Nintendo 64. And so she's playing on the Nintendo 64 and as she's playing on the Nintendo 64, she got filled with the Holy Ghost playing Nintendo 64. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen. Another time there was a young man in my youth group and he said to me, Pastor Ben, I want to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, no worries, mate. You come over to my place, I'm going to pray for you till you get it. So he comes over to my place and I pray for him for about 10 minutes. I pray for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and nothing happened. And I thought, oh, well, maybe he's one of those people where he's not supposed to receive the baptism of the Spirit. A couple of weeks later, we're in a prayer meeting. And as we're in the prayer meeting, I walk past him and I hear him praying. And he's praying in tongues. He's going, hushakara ba ba ba. And I stopped him. I said, hey. I said, when did that happen? He said, oh, later that night after you prayed for me when I got home, it happened. I said, why didn't you tell me? I was about to change my theology. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen. It says here that it was available for all. And maybe you've been prayed for once before and it didn't happen and you get discouraged. I just want to encourage you to keep believing God. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Sometimes you just got to seek God again. I've seen it happen so many times where I've preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People got prayed for once and thought, maybe it's not for me. And then afterwards got prayed for again. And then they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the fourth thing is this. It's utterance. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what that means is this. They actually got a prayer language as the sign that they'd actually received it. If you look through the book of Acts, every time somebody is said to have received the baptism of the Spirit, it either explicitly says that they started praying in other tongues or it implies it. There's never a time in the book of Acts where someone receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit and other people can't see it. There's never a time when they prayed for someone to receive the baptism of the Spirit and other people like, and they're like, I think I got it. Are you sure? Are you sure you got it? That doesn't happen. What happens is every time there's a sign that they've received it and they've actually received that prayer language. Now, some people get a little bit confused because in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in 12 verse 30, he says, do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? So basically, he's kind of saying not everybody does that. But he's not talking about the prayer language of tongues there. He's actually talking about the prophetic utterance of tongues. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about nine gifts of the Spirit, and one is a prophetic utterance in tongues. I don't know if you've ever heard it in a church service or anything like that, where someone says a prophetic utterance in tongues. That's what he's talking about there. But he's not actually talking about the prayer language. And the awesome thing about the prayer language, it's so good. I mean, you're praying the perfect will of God. You know, if you've ever wondered whether what I'm praying is of God, well, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you can be sure that what you're praying is actually God's will. The Bible says that when you pray in another tongue, you actually edify yourself. What that means is you build yourself up. It's like doing weights for your spirit. It fires you up. Remember one time when I was in North Queensland, it was the end of a school day and I was mentoring a group of Year 10 boys. And so they came and saw me and we would pray in this room and there was no air conditioning in this room. And it was a hot day. And so we went up and prayed in this room. It's the end of the day. And these are Year 10 boys, you know, they're tired from the day. And so there's these bench seats that are around the room. And so they lay down on these bench seats. And then they said, what are we going to do today, Pastor Ben? I said, you're going to pray in tongues for 10 minutes. And they said, oh, do I have to? And I said, yes. I said, so get up. They got it, and I said, start praying in the Holy Ghost. And so they started, you know, at the start, it kind of takes a while to get going. After a couple of minutes, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, at the 10-minute mark, I said, okay, boys, stop. And they were yelling at the top of their lungs, and they're like this. I go up to one of the boys who's a front rower for the school football team. I said, how do you feel, mate? He just grabs me, picks me up off the ground, and shakes me and goes, my legs are dangling like this. 10 minutes before, 10 minutes later, what happened? He got filled with, he started praying in other tongues, and he started edifying himself. He started getting built up. That's what happens. That's why it's good to pray in the Holy Ghost every day. That's why it's good to pray in the Holy Spirit when you get up in the morning. You know, if you're feeling tired, you're feeling weighed down, you're struggling, get up in the morning and start praying a few minutes in the Holy Ghost. It starts firing you up on the inside. Now, I know that sometimes when you do that, it takes a while to get going. Like, it's like trying to start a dodgy lawnmower. But eventually, and you get going. You know what I'm saying? And in the same way when you do that, your Bible says you're speaking mysteries unto God. I remember one time I was praying for a group of students in our Bible college, and I'm praying for them, and I'm praying for one young man, and I'm just praying in the Holy Spirit, and I didn't even know what I was saying. I was just praying. I didn't think I was praying much. And then afterwards, the guy who was standing behind them, who was a catcher, who was catching them, he comes up to me afterwards, and he's a Maori, right, from New Zealand. And he goes, hey, Pastor Ben, when did you learn Maori? I said, what do you mean? He says, you were praying in Maori when you were praying for that guy. I said, what was I saying? He said, you were saying, be strong, be strong. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you speak in mysteries unto God. It fires you up on the inside. He gives you a prayer language. You start moving and shifting things that you don't even realize need to be shifted. You might be worried about what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit can pray things through you, and He fires you and does incredible things. I remember another time I had a prayer meeting at our church, and so only four people came. And the four people who came were all elders, you know. And so we were praying, and so we were praying for an hour. So what I do is this, to try and kill a bit of time, first 15 minutes, we're just praying the Holy Ghost, right? And I just said to the guys, I said, listen, let's just pray in the Holy Spirit for 15 minutes. And so we start praying in the Holy Spirit for 15 minutes. But as we start doing that, at the end of that time, I just had a vision. And the vision I had was of the four of us standing on this great big bedrock. And each of us were in the corner of the bedrock, and we had one of those old dynamite detonators that was pulled up, ready to push down. And I said, something's happening here, guys. I don't know what it is. And I said, and I don't even know really what we're praying for. I said, but I think we're supposed to keep praying in the Holy Ghost. So we kept praying in the Holy Spirit, and we ended up doing it for about 50 minutes. And at the end of that time, all of a sudden, I saw in this vision all of us push down that detonator, and a massive chunk of bedrock shifted, and all this stuff started flying forward. And I said, something's happened. I said, now, I don't know what it is. I said, but something's happened. I look back at it now, and I realize what it was. It was a breakthrough. And after that time, we've never made a loss. We've got millions of dollars in the bank. Finances have flowed. And if I can look back and think it's something that shifted and moved that thing, even though I didn't know what to do, it was that time we prayed in the Holy Spirit. There's something powerful when you pray in the Holy Ghost. And I know that when you talk about this in a public service like this, sometimes people get a little bit funny because they're worried. They say, well, I got prayed for before. I didn't get it. Are you saying that somehow you're a better Christian than me because you pray in the Holy Spirit and I don't? I would never say that. But I will say this. I'm not saying I'm a better Christian than you, but I'm a better Christian than I was since I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that if you're hungry and if you're thirsty and if you've never received it before, I believe that it's an experience that's available for everybody who seeks it. Amen? Imagine that, being able to pray things that you didn't even know needed praying for. Imagine that. The Bible says that God has given us a river, rivers of living water on the inside, flowing full of vitality and full of life. And one of the ways that we stir that up is when we start praying in the Holy Spirit. And that is our Pentecostal distinctive. We believe that the baptism of the Spirit is subsequent to conversion. We believe it's a different working of the Holy Spirit. Yes, He regenerates us. We're born again and saved, but He also comes upon us and He gives us Pentecostal power. And we also believe that it's prevalent. It's an experience that's available for all. And we also believe that the sign that you've received it is an utterance. You get a prayer language, and that's one of the signs that you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, what I want to do is this. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to open up the altar because I know many people here are baptized in the Holy Spirit and already praying on the baptism of the Spirit, and I'd love to get prayed for to receive it. I know myself, I needed to get prayed for a few times. I think it probably took about 2 years before I actually received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I used to get prayed for all the time to receive it, and it felt like nothing happened. Then one day I was in a prayer meeting and I just started praying for somebody. And as I started praying for somebody, all of a sudden, this tongues started coming out. And I started praying in the Holy Ghost. And I've been like that in the 28 years ever since. And I believe that tonight for some people, that experience is going to be available for you.